Hi, this is Mark Sable, writer of Cyborg and Two-Face Year One, and more importantly, the upcoming book Unthinkable from Boom Studios. And you're listening to 15 Minutes with Mark Waid.
Welcome back to another Waid webisode, if I'm being really obnoxious about it.
Wow, or just another Mark Waid podcast. So I'm Mark Waid, and this is...
Daphna.
And we are here to talk today about what? The Incredible stuff?
Yes.
The Pixar stuff
yes.
in general?
Pixar stuff in general, but come on, Incredibles. Like, who else is more perfect to write things? If I'm being really obnoxious and fangirly about it, and I'm allowed to because you're paying me for this.
That's true,
so
exactly.
Suck
that's right.
It up.
Here's your 20 bucks.
Yeah. Here's your 20.
Oh, that's...
Wade gets paid in singles, by the way.
I don't know if there's any...
Thick as a baby's fist.
I don't know if there's any... Man, I don't know if there's any good way to say... Hey, I was the perfect guy for that job. Without sounding like a giant swelled head guy.
But let's be honest.
Who am I, Mark Millar? Come on. So, I'm perfect for that job. It's the moment I saw Incredibles, obviously. I mean, I saw Fantastic Four all over it. But it was beyond that. I mean, I'm not trying to paint it as just a Fantastic Four movie. It was what was great is they sort of took a little bit of the FF and a little bit of other comic book dynamics and a lot of the Pixar heart and brought it together. I don't have to sell this movie to anybody who listens to this podcast. It's an amazing movie.
I never get over hearing people talk about the Incredibles movie.
No
matter if you're a DC fangirl or boy, we're all inclusive here, or Marvel, can't deny that out of all the movies out there before Iron Man or Dark Knight, it captured the Superman mythos.
That was the definitive superhero movie. I agree. I
loved
it.
And I still think it is.
I loved it beyond all reason. So when the opportunity came up to do Pixar stuff here at Boom, we got the Pixar license. Publisher Ross Ritchie came to me and said, well, here's what we've got Cars, if you're interested. We have Toy Story. And I love
And this little thing called...
I love those movies, but nothing really perked me up. And then he said Incredibles. I'm like, all right, I'm all over that. And I'm on that like black on a bowling ball. So it just was a natural fit. We went to Pixar with a few pitches for ideas. I'm a little nervous because, again, that's their crown jewel property and that's their baby. And we've got to, we have to respect that. That's the sort of dance around you have to do with licensed properties is that you've got to be a little careful about, being aware of the fact that you're playing in somebody else's sandbox. So we went to them with some pitches. We came with some ideas. And again, it's not hard to write that stuff because if you've written comic book families before and you've written superhero families before, it's just fun. I mean, they did a great job with Pixar, at Pixar with The Incredibles by making sure that everybody in the team was a specific archetype, not only in terms of power, but in terms of personality. They did the perfect thing that you try to do when you're creating superheroes, where the power and the personality and the name all sort of form of a piece, all sort of make some sort
they
of consistent.
They inform each other, yeah.
Yeah, not like, naming your character Cable. That doesn't tell me anything. But if I may say so.
You just threw out fighting words.
I'm just saying. Oh, please. I'm the first guy to ever make that observation that Cable's a sucky name. So, and I say that, but then it's been around for a while. I'm just saying it doesn't tell me. If I see the name Cable, it tells me nothing. Its reception is good. But if I may say so, Impulse is a good example of there's a character whose name and his power and his personality all sort of fit together. So,
and his weakness, almost.
And his weakness. So there you go. So we sat down and we threw out some ideas, and much to our surprise, they loved all the ideas we hit them with. We hit them with several pitches. They liked them all. And it was really a matter of figuring out which one was the first one to go with. Now, the important thing with writing The Incredibles is all the problems and all the things they deal with, you've got to be careful. They can't just be random stock superhero stuff. Everything has to be an extension of the kind of problems that ordinary families deal with. I mean, if you think about the climax of the movie and they're fighting the big giant on the droid thing, pounding down the pavement and stuff, really what they're doing is they're fighting over the remote. That's what every family does. So that was the genius of the movie. Everything is about the little stuff that families deal with, and you blow it up to superhero proportions. So what we talked about doing for the first story was an idea where Bob Parr begins to lose his superpowers, but he doesn't want to tell anybody in the family because they look to him for leadership, And more importantly, he believes they look to him for leadership. I mean, he just – he's that, you know, in a real sense, he's that
– the family man.
Square-jawed family man, suburban dad who, you know
– thinks he's the breadwinner.
And it's important for him to be the breadwinner. It's important for him to be his whole sense of identity is wrapped up in I'm a provider for my family, and I am.
It's like Mad Men, but yeah, for kids.
Exactly, like Mad Men for Incredibles, like Mad Men for Junior. Kids. Exactly, Mad Kids. So the actually Mad Kids, I think, is my next boom series. But
you heard it here first.
That's right. Actually, I kind of like this. Like a kindergarten version of Mad Men is really awesome.
I want a superhero version of Mad Men.
That's. What would you do?
Like New Frontierish, but Mad Men, but it's just all sort of. This is a tangent. We'll discuss this later.
Yeah, that's fine. We have time to kill. You have me chained to the desk for 15 minutes. What would you do?
We'd discuss your projects that we can sell to listeners.
I know, but no, I'm saying.
For Mad Men New Frontier, just dealing with. I mean, Watchmen touched on this, but dealing with sort of the gender expectations and the roles and accolades available to women if they had these powers that are generally outside of.
Are you talking about a period piece?
I'm talking about a period piece. Okay. Like superheroes as a period piece, but dealing more with sort of, you know how female scientists and researchers, like with DNA, and she did all the hard work. She did all the legwork, and the guys got all the credit.
See, that's good. That's really good. I like that a lot. Seriously, that's really good. So you're dealing with that sort of the like you said, the gender dynamics of the 1950s and 1960s.
And the frustrations inherent in it, because the problem with the gender, and you see it in Mad Men, I rewatched Mad Men this week, and which is why it's on the brain, is it comes off as very quiet, comes off as the men's story.
Yes.
Watch it again, and you watch the expression that passed on the woman's face.
Yeah, exactly.
And you watch the dynamic, especially, you've watched second season, right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
The when Peggy and Joan are discussing in front of the office, and then it's like this upstairs, downstairs moment. Her mind's completely elsewhere, and it's just seeing those dynamics, like the difference between a woman who has powers and the woman she works with. Let's say we do like a female version of Clark Kent. Yeah. She's a reporter in the newsroom.
Right.
And she's a superhero.
Yeah.
And just, that would just be fascinating.
That's really good. Wow. Look at that. I knew these podcasts would come to something. This is good. All right. That'll look for that in September from Boom Studios. I like that. The only problem with that in the marketplace is that I'm not worried that it's talky. It's just that period pieces are hard sells.
It's a hard sell all around in terms of you get an artist that fits the style, it's the pacing, it's what are you really discussing.
Yeah. No, that's the awesome stuff. That impresses me. That actually makes it very adult, and that makes it very interesting. The only concern I would have is you'd have to find a way in this market to try to, in this secret invasion Final Crisis market, to sell a period piece. There have been some good ones that came out. Like last year there was something called Red Menace that came out
from
Nelson and DeMeo. But again, it kind of went off the radar.
Winterman was kind of faintly a period piece.
Yeah. I mean, even, frankly, even New Frontier, while it is an instant classic, it could have, it was more word of mouth that built up as the first few issues came out. People weren't just standing by the comic book
stores. Even with those iconic characters.
Right. Yeah. People were still, that's a trust that Darwin had to build. And DC was very reticent to publish it for a long time because it was a period piece.
Really?
Yeah.
You know how I feel about New Frontier.
And New Frontier, wrong. New Frontier is amazing. I'll tell Darwin you said hello. So,
I think I scared him at Comic-Con.
What did you do?
We were out on the Hyatt balcony and cut this part, Chip.
No, leave. Keep talking.
It involves smoking. We're talking about Pixar.
Oh, okay. All right.
I have some.
You're right.
Basically, I was, I'm just going to pause it for 2 seconds. Pixar, Incredibles.
Basically, where were we? Okay, so we're talking about The Incredibles. So, where were we? Oh, yes, we're talking about Mad Men and Incredibles. Okay, so with Incredibles, the idea that Bob is the breadwinner, the idea that Bob's the provider, and he doesn't want to let the other people in the family in on the secret, but at the same time, and there's precedence for that. I mean, again, in the movie, he had his own little sort of, when he got the new suit and he got on these secret missions and stuff, he wasn't telling anybody back home. So obviously the family's going to find out, and the family's going to find out long before the end of the arc.
And long before he knows they found out.
Yes, and it's not going to go well for him. And then he will be grounded, and that will suck for him. But that's...
Let's be honest. Mr. Incredible is adorable when he sulks.
Thank God, because he's sulking all through issue 3. He's got to do something with Jack. By the way, Jack, hardest character in The Incredibles to write.
Really?
Hardest character to write.
Well, who's the easiest?
Bob, by far. Violet is the next easiest to write because that I love that shy sort of, and again, Sarah Vowell's voice rings in my head.
Belligerent shyness, which I just, so much trapped up in that voice.
And Dash is pretty easy to write. Actually, you know, all of them are easy to write, but I think Bob is the is the
why,
one
who's voice. Why is Dash easiest to write?
I can't imagine. He's just like a kid super speedster. I don't know why I have an affinity for that, but I seem to. But Bob, partly because I've been, you know, I've been listening to Craig Nelson's voice for 15 years. I mean, you know, it's just...
That was perfect casting.
And so I just know his voice. It just, it's, that's the beauty of sitting down and writing Incredibles, is that it just, it pours out of you. Like, the, you know... If those lines are not note perfect, you can hear it in your head. So that's amazing. When you think about the fact the movie was, what, 2 hours long?
And just picture how many beats they hit in that movie. There was light family moment beats, dark. I mean, the moment when he thinks his family is dead.
Yeah.
And this is a kid's movie.
Or the moment when she says to the kids,
stay here.
Stay here. They will kill you. This is not about Robin Banks. They will kill you.
Exactly. Are you going to try and strike a similar tone?
Yes. Yeah, because there are some real sort of heart wrenching moments in the fourth issue that are.
Why does it make me so happy to hear?
I don't know. Maybe that creeps me out a little bit, but there are some heart wrenching moments in the fourth episode. In the fourth issue, there's some pretty light stuff in the second one. But again, it's that flying back and forth that I really like. It's the idea that Incredibles gives you the permission with the way they structure that movie to do. Comedy, and then suddenly, without anybody realizing it, just hit him in the face with a real dramatic moment.
It's like it comes out of nowhere, but at the same time feels organic.
Exactly. So it's all that to say, Jack is
insanely difficult.
Very difficult to write. I mean, well,
for a shape changer, can he just fit any situation?
First of all, he has no lines. Secondly, you have to continue to stretch the imagination that they would bring an infant child into battle. So... Even though the kid has superpowers,
how did you stretch that? I mean, like how did you fight that impulse to say like, no, seriously, leave him with a babysitter?
You can't. You really, the thing is, you can't, because then it's not The Incredibles.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and that was the first movie they left him with, and we saw what happened when he
exactly.
Left.
You can't really. That's the thing. You can't really leave the kid with a babysitter because you don't know if the kid is not going to catch on fire, and then out goes the secret identity. So. The way you get around that a lot is actually to have things happen to the Parr family when they're out.
When they're not expecting it, so they can't think about it themselves.
Exactly. So the first issue opens up with them at the zoo, just a day at the zoo, and then chaos happens at the zoo. So there you go. That's our plan. We also talked about introducing the Incredivan because it follows the Bob had his Incredicar or whatever in the opening of the first movie.
Incredi minivan.
Exactly.
And it shrinks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's good. That, you think about that. That's good. I was thinking more along the lines of just someplace.
That was really tacky.
Just someplace for them to, change costume on the way to mission. So
other adventures.
Yeah. So that's Incredibles. It's just Mauricio Tancara is doing the artwork. He's great.
He's really good.
I got to say, we found him kind of out of the blue. About 6 months ago.
And Dollhouse is doing colors.
My favorite colorist in the whole world right at this moment.
They work so well together. Like, yep. You can see them on CBR, I think, what is it, the first four pages?
I think the first four pages are up in preview on CBR. And then the book itself comes out in March. So
$2.99.
$2.99, exactly. And that's our plan, to keep the Pixar books at that relatively low price point. Because, again, we're aware of the fact that everybody's hurting, and we're aware of the fact that entertainment ain't cheap, but they're kids' comics, so we will hold the line at $2.99 as long as we can.
But they're going to be kids' comics like the movie was a kids' movie.
Well, exactly. Let me rephrase that. Comics appropriate for kids.
You can read. So it's like getting two comics, one for your kid, one for yourself.
If you do it right, that's the way all that stuff plays. And the Muppet stuff we're doing with Roger Langridge is the same thing. The
Muppet stuff looks fantastic.
And it's appropriate for children, but at the same time, like the Muppet show before it, it works on two levels. The kids can watch it without you having any fear of them being exposed to something like, you know, Dr. Light raping Sue Dibney or whatever. Leave that. What the hell?
Well, they kind of remind me, from what I've seen so far, of the Muppet stuff. Like, remember the McScrooge comics?
Yeah.
Where it's like, it's the illustrator, the cartoonist is writing and drawing, and there's just something that really is organic about a team like that.
So all that's good. So the Pixar stuff is coming together beautifully. Next week we will talk about Irredeemable, which is another Boom book I'm doing, and we will go off on long tangents there too. And I think we're going to wrap this up for right now, so join us next week for the podcast. I'm Mark Wade.
This is Daphne Plevin, and
We'll see you next week.
Bye.